a lot of people are running our marathon these days after running all the internationally popular marathon like London Marathon, Boston Marathon. And finally, they come to Nepal to run it as an ultimate marathon of their life. They will be enlightened, you know, they will be thrilled, excited about life and about their own journey of life. So they will be a very enlightened human being. And when they return to their country, and they will contribute in a better ways or bigger ways to the entire mankind. This is what our dream is all about. You know, they are going to Everest at least 1 month before the event, and they are training themselves at 4,000 meter altitude with rocks and boulders putting in their rucksack, and every day they are practicing like that.
Hello and welcome back to The Big Run. On today's episode, we head to Nepal. Well, we give Nepal a call, rather, to chat with Bikram Pandey. Bikram is the founder of the Everest Marathon, which is billed as the highest and toughest marathon in the world. It starts at Everest Base Camp at approximately 5,401 metres above sea level before descending through the Sherpa trails of the Khumbu Valley. In recognition of the first successful ascent of the highest peak in the world by the duo of the late Tenzing Norway Sherpa and Sir Edmund Hillary on the 29th of May 1953, this event has officially been named the Tenzing Hillary Everest Marathon. Recorded earlier this year, I chatted with Bikram to learn how the event came to be, how he prepares the participants, how the locals train for the race, and how connecting with the natural beauty and wonder of Nepal enriches all that take part. Let's get on the phone to him, shall we?
Hi, Danny.
Hello, Bikram. How are you?
Fine. Namaste.
Namaste. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. Very well.
Thank you so much for coming on the Big Run podcast. Really excited to be having you on and to be connecting with you all the way in Nepal where you are. You're about 6 hours ahead, I believe, and we're 6 hours behind here in London, UK. So excited to be having you on and talking all about the marathon, which is coming up in May, and your connection to it. So maybe to kick things off with, could you sort of introduce yourself to the listeners, tell people a little bit about who you are, your background, and how it came to be that you were organizing this extraordinary marathon?
My name is Bikram Pandey Kaji. You know, Kaji is our title, okay? Mm-hmm. Like you have Sir in England. And after my study, you know, I started working in tourism because tourism was very interesting and it was an emerging new area of work where we could all jump into and learn something and get connected with the, you know, Western world of different cultures, you know, different background, different civilization. So I came in there and I was working in that field and I was doing a lot of trekking expeditions. And, you know, so many other adventure sports activities. In the sense, not necessarily always a sport, like even mountain biking, we call it sports, some kind of adventure sports. And there are other, you know, activities, sports. But during, you know, 2003 era, when it was a 50th anniversary, the Golden Jubilee of Mount Everest, you know, the 50th year of the first successful ascent of Mount Everest back in 1953, May 29. So that was in 2003. Our Nepal tourism had gone down very badly because of this Maoist revolution. They call it revolution and some call it, you know, in a different terminology. So the tourism had gone down very badly. So I was trying to, you know, think of something as a remedy or something which we could address a little bit to change the scenario. So I thought maybe blending a little bit of sports experience, you know, a little bit of exciting, you know, adventure sports experience into the trekking or climbing, which I was already doing for a long time, could attract more people to come to Nepal, which will be a new dimensions, new, you know, kind of a tourism experience, holiday experience, running experience in our country. And that is also in the highest mountain and highest altitude. The Sherpa land, you know, the Himalayas, okay, from the foot of Mount Everest. So I was blending all these exciting features and trying to make it a, you know, beautiful or, you know, very unique program for the adventure sports lover or the sports lover people of the, around the world so that we could revive a little bit of tourism economy. Because, you know, Nepal has not many other good economy because we are a small country. and tourism makes and contributes substantially, because we don't have any big industries or any, you know, exports of any international big value. So that's why tourism is a very, very important segment of our economic activities. So that's how we started. And fortunately, that year in Mount Everest, there was a Mount Everest Golden Jubilee, you know, celebration, climbing expedition also. So it just happened that both of these events were going together. And because of this Mount Everest Golden Jubilee celebration expedition, there was one guy, some senior guy, I don't know, from BBC. And he also covered, you know, our event. And that gave a big boost, okay? Mm. Big boost of the, you know, kickstart of our marathon, which has come out today. And this year is going to be the 19th series of our marathon. And it has become world's one of the most iconic marathon. And sometime we have, you know, a group from 32 nations. Sometime we have group from 30 nations, you know. It's like a small United Nations General Assembly sometime. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it has given a great, you know, destination for running, for the running, you know, people from all over the world. So if you have London Marathon, it has its own charm and own beauty. So Mount Everest Marathon, you know, stands out as one of the ultimate marathons of the world, one of the most exciting and, you know, and one most unique experience of the world. So that is how it has evolved to this day. And that's why this year we are offering 70K also, side by side 42K, because we want to celebrate 70th anniversary of Mount Everest, you know, celebration. And all Sir Edmund Hillary's family will be there. Tenzing Norgay Sherpa's family will be there. And from last year, I have started giving opportunity to the to our marathon runners that, you know, I wanted to present my marathon runners, our marathon runners, at the most responsible marathons in the world. So from last year, we have started planting trees, okay, for the musk deers. So don't be confused with Elon Musk. I'm talking about the, you know, musk deers, the animals, the buck, okay, that live in the Mount Everest highland. So from last year, we are planting trees, which is the most preferred fodder tree of rhododendron barbatum, which is the most delicious food for musk deers, so that they multiply, over-multiply the population. By adding this plantation, we are trying to promote the awareness, you know, to save Mount Everest environment. We are trying to, you know, save Mount Everest environment from the gradual process of climate change. And we're trying to save Mount Everest, you know, fast melting Himalayan glaciers from this, you know, cause of the climate change. Mm. So these are all, you know, beautiful aspects we have added. And that makes our Nepal Everest Marathon dedicated as a tribute to Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay Sherpa has come out to be one of the most interesting, unique, and ultimate experience marathon in the world.
It certainly is the ultimate experience. And I love the fact that you're doing a 70K race as well to commemorate the sort of 70th anniversary of the first summit on the 29th of May back in 1953. Now, you mentioned the word unique there. So what makes the race so unique and kind of sets it apart from kind of the traditional road marathons that people might be familiar with? Like, I feel like elevation and altitude might be two of those components that makes it such a unique challenge for most marathoners.
That is one part. But I see this marathon as one of the most unique and beautiful marathon because it is a lifetime experience. Mm. You are running from the foot of Mount Everest, okay? The highest mountain in the world. You are running through the glaciers. You are running through the moraines. You are running through the high valleys. You are running through the stupas. You are running through the monasteries, okay? You are running through the, you know, the musk deer's habitat, the wild animals. You are running through the hanging trees. You are running through, you know, the rhododendron forest. You are running through the orchid, you know, flower forest. And you are running inside the national park of the highest altitude national park of the world. So all these experiences makes this marathon, most unique and beautiful. And if you have ever been to Everest base camp area, this area seems to be the most beautiful area in the world because we have so many beautiful mountains all around. Okay, Mount Everest, Lhotse, Nuptse, and we have 8 highest mountain in the world out of 14, 8,000 meter, highest mountain of the world. Okay, so the landscape is beautiful, the rivers, you know, the birds, the wildlife, flora and fauna, everything is there. So that is why it is different, you know, from the road running. And we are running through the trail, the age-old trail, you know, which is used by the local inhabitants. And through the yaks, yak trails, through the trails that are, you know, walked by the yaks. Yeah, we are also running through the yak country. You can see, you know, wild, not wild, but mostly they are tamed. So we are running through the yak country. So you have all the experience in this marathon in one go. So that makes this different. Having said that, you know, I'm not trying to undermine the road running. It has its own charm and beauty. But this marathon, which we offer and operate in Nepal, is definitely a lifetime experience.
No, it does. Absolutely. What an advertisement for it. It sounds incredible the way you describe it. Just looking at your website, you mentioned about the fact that there is a new Mount Everest height, that the actual height of Everest has increased, so that this race that's happening on the 29th of May of this year will be celebrating this new height due to the earthquake that happened in 2015. Can you sort of explain about why that's being adjusted and why you're choosing to celebrate that?
Well, I mean, that's difficult for me to explain. It's a geometrical mapping they did, you know, by the government of Nepal together with Chinese, you know, government and Indian government assistance. So when Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay climbed Mount Everest, you know, before they climbed the Everest peak, I think Mount Everest height was still uncertain, between 8839.40 to 8848. But when Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay Sherpa stood on the top of Mount Everest, then they measured everything, and that was what was the final height of Mount Everest. That was 8848. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in 2015, the earthquake, you know, the Indian plates and Eurasian plates, I think they collided, you know, as used to happen before. That's how Himalaya rose, according to the geographer, specialist. So that's how the Himalayan topography rose to this big height. So that must have been a theory that the, you know, Indian plates and Eurasian plates must have collided again. And there is a small increase, 0.86, you know, meter higher than what Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay Sherpa had stood, you know, on top.
Wow. Yeah, it's fascinating just to see that 10 meter increase in terms of what the sort of original thinking was in terms of the highest point to where it is now, and the how that's been caused by the earthquake back in 2015. So in terms of the event itself, how has it increased in popularity from when you first staged it 19 years ago to this current staging in 2023? Like, what was it like from when you first arranged the event and put it together to how it's grown to what it is today?
Not in a rabbit speed, but in a tortoise speed, you know, slowly and steadily. So it has come to, you know, last year we ran 165 people, you know, international runners, the foreigner, not the Nepalese. It has grown steadily, and I will not take a lot of people. Maximum I will take is 300 people, including Nepalese, because the place where we run the kickstart, our run at the foot of Mount Everest peak, is a very small place, you know, and there are already expeditions, climbing Mount Everest expedition. There are already 500 people around. So that area will be just enough for 300 international runners. And it is doing fantastic, and it has grown every year, slowly, step by step. Now, what I see the trend these days is a lot of people from your country, England and other countries, have started coming to Nepal and run our marathon and run the merit and the credit, and they go back for raising funds to their charity. Mm-hmm. That is one new thing we have noticed, okay, which is very nice. And a lot of people are running our marathon these days after running all the internationally popular marathon, like London Marathon, Boston Marathon, okay? They have been running all around. And finally, they come to Nepal to run it as an ultimate, ultimate marathon of their life, which is very nice.
Yeah, high praise indeed that after sort of, yeah, surmounting the majors, that the next challenge is literally and metaphorically a step up to take on the Everest Marathon. So what are some of the specific demands that are placed on runners when they take on this event? I feel like, is there a period of kind of altitude adjustment that they need to go on before they compete? Like, how do you make sure that the 300 people that come to race are ready to take on this ultimate challenge?
Well, we do it very cleverly in the sense, in a very organic way, okay, in a very traditional way. When we take them for a Mount Everest trek going up, we fly to a small airstrip called Lukla, which was built by Sir Edmund Hillary. Then we do about 9 to 10 days trek with rest days. So by the time, and we have designed the route in such a way, so they are trekking to one of the most exotic and beautiful places on earth, that is Mount Everest Highland Valleys. So that is a beautiful holiday for them already, trekking holiday. And we have designed the itinerary in such a way, following all the guidelines of this altitude, you know, adaptation or altitude, you know, digesting the altitude in such a way that when they reach finally to Everest Base Camp, their body is fully adjusted, adapted, digested, digesting all the altitude. So they are all fit. So finally they sleep at the elevation of 8,000 meter, like near a plus. And the point from where they run, the run is not upward. Okay, so that's why I use the word cleverly. So when you are going up, you are, you know, adapting your body, adjusting your body, digesting all the altitude in a very, very natural way, in a natural pace. Okay, no pressure. So by the time you have reached Mount Everest Base Camp, the foot of Mount Everest, you are fully adjusted. And we have doctors, we have medical officers, you know, attending to all our runners, trekking together to the base camp. And when the final day comes, they are running down from Mount Everest Base Camp, okay, down to the Sherpa capital village of Namche Bazaar. So this is done in a very beautiful, in a traditional knowledge, indigenous knowledge, adjusting and digesting the altitude in a natural way without any pressure. Okay. And finally, everybody is happy. They have achieved their lifetime experience.
Yeah, it's fascinating just hearing how you prepare for it. So there's this 9-day trek to acclimate the athletes to the altitude before this kind of downhill descent of the race. So in terms of the actual event itself, the marathon, the downhill aspect of it, is that an element that you sort of prepare people for? The fact that they will be descending throughout this marathon, is that something that people kind of need to be aware of kind of physically when they're thinking of taking on this challenge, the sort of downhill descent aspect of it?
Well, it is not always downhill. There are certain small portion, which is a little bit of uphill. Mm-hmm. But, you know, calculating the height, you know, like Everest Base Camp, Mount Everest Base Camp, 5,365 is shown in the lower base camp, but we run up from the point 5,400 meter, the height, higher height of Mount Everest. But essentially, when you are running down, you are running down to, you know, 4,000 meter, then after that, less than 4,000, like that. But in between, there is a small uphill, but that is down below. But most of the run is downhill from Mount Everest base camp. And at certain places, there is a small little uphill. That's all. Otherwise, it is mostly downhill in terms of the high altitude.
It's just fascinating hearing about that. And yeah, sort of if people are thinking about maybe taking part in the 2024 version of this race, it's good to get that level of insight from yourself. And in terms of yourself, I read a really interesting interview that you did a while back on the Business 360 website, where you refer to yourself as a tourism entrepreneur, which I thought was quite interesting. Why did you choose that mantle for yourself? And in terms of being an entrepreneur when it comes to tourism, are there any other kind of races and events that you'd like to maybe sort of turn your hand to attract more people to visit Nepal and sort of experience its beauty and wonders?
Entrepreneur, in one sense, people always perceive it like a money-making businessman. Mm. But entrepreneurs are also creating, lots of interesting events and activities. And if you ask me, Bikram, who are you? I tell you, I'm a tourist. So I myself is a tourist. I'm not a Victorian-style, entrepreneur sitting in a shop and making money. Mm. I myself is a tourist going to new places, explore new areas, okay, and create events and make, everything beautiful. Under the banner of tourism, because tourism is one of our big economy, as I said earlier, so that it brings, some economy back to the village, back to the people. So that's why I'm doing all these kind of things. So next year, I'm already planning another marathon on the Tibetan side of Mount Everest, which I will send you the details a little later. And I'm also doing spiritual sports, okay, running in the life of Buddha. Have you heard the name of Buddha, Lord Buddha?
I've heard of the Buddha. So tell me a little bit more about this. That sounds fascinating. So explain it for us.
Down in our, lowland area, the plains you call, is a place called Lumbini and Kapilvastu, the home of Lord Buddha and the birthplace of Lord Buddha and the birthplace of Mother Mayadevi, who gave a son, the crown prince, Siddhartha Gautam, who renounced all his palatial luxury life in search of the truth to save the, mankind from their sorrow and sufferings, okay? To relieve the mankind from their sorrow and sufferings. This is what has been written in the Buddhist literature. So in his homeland, in his birthplace around, I have created the first spiritual sports in the world. On the 12th of March, that is the full moon day of 12th of March in 2017. And people were asking me, what do you mean by spiritual sports? Then I told them that this is running on Buddha's life, the apostle of peace, who renounced all his luxurious life, palatial life, relieving the mankind from their sorrow and sufferings. And this is catching up. So this is how it is being developed. And now in Tibet, we're going to add from next year, 100 years, Mallory and Irvine attempted on Mount Everest. That was on the June 8th, they disappeared. So next year, we have a big project. a great program rather than project. We are organizing an expedition climbing Mount Everest, okay? And we are hoping to put two Englishmen or two Brits on the top of Mount Everest on June 8th, the day Mallory and Irvine were last seen in the slope of Somalonga Everest. Somalonga Everest 100 years ago. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And after that, on the June 8th, from Rombuk Monastery, we are organizing a marathon running, on the Everest, on the north slope of Everest, paying tribute to these two great men who attempted on the highest peak of the world without any, advanced equipment or oxygen system or, clothing or anything. So this is what I'm doing. So we have athletic sports, interesting sports in Tibetan side of Mount Everest, Nepal side of Mount Everest. Then we have a peace marathon in the birthplace of Buddha, running on Buddha's life. Okay. So this is how we are promoting this kind of very exciting and enthusiastic events so that people would be attracted to visit our country and earn something of an experience of a lifetime and enrich their life and go back home.
Wow, it sounds incredible. So exciting with these plans that you're in the throes of arranging as we speak for the next year. And you talk about these big life experiences that you're wanting people to have. Why do you think they are important for individuals to have? Why is it important for people to go on these adventures, to see these beautiful places? What impact do you see those events and adventures having on the individuals who experience them?
So they experience something which is the natural beauty, not man-made or artificial beauty, okay? And Coming back to the Himalaya means you are returning, you are uniting with the Mother Nature, where all, we all eventually belong. We are the creation of Mother Nature, okay, as one of the components of the Mother Earth, of the living being. So that is one aspect I'm, you know, always thinking. And secondly, when they experience something which they have never heard a little bit, but they have never tested or never experienced, then they will be enlightened, you know, they will be thrilled, excited, and enlightened about life and about their own, you know, journey of life and their importance of life. So they will be a very enlightened human being. And when they return to their country, they become more positive, you know, human being, and they will contribute in a better ways or bigger ways to the entire mankind. So this is what our, you know, dream is all about.
I love that. I love that. And what about the people, the Nepalese people, in terms of their growing and development and the development of the country as it sort of continues to thrive with tourism and stuff like that? What's their take on the events that you host and put together? I mean, do they enjoy it? Are they happy to be part of it? And also, what are the Nepalese runners like? Do you have any sort of locals taking part in the marathon who race and compete along with the people who fly into Nepal as well to take part in it?
They have taken it as one of the excitement of their life, and they have been, you know, participating on it. And you will be surprised, you know, they are going to Everest at least 1 month before the event, and they are training themselves 4,000 meter altitude with rocks and boulders putting in their rucksack. And every day they are practicing like that. And when they run on May 29, my God, they are running like a bullet. And they have always been winning, you know, winning the race. What can you do? So it has become like a festival, you know, this marathon, May 29. It has become like a festival, local festival now, even for the local people. And I have always given the opportunity to the locals, you know, uneducated, less privileged, you know, I have always given them opportunities, and now they are, you know, earning name and fame by running our marathon, by collecting our certificate, diplomas, and, you know, on the basis of that, they are participating in the international marathons, and they are earning money. They are earning rewards in cash, few thousand dollars and all. So this has opened up a new opportunity or great ways for even for uneducated, you know, underprivileged population to take part in it and earn their identity with respectable name and fame.
I'm just imagining the training of the locals, training at 4,000 meters of elevation with rocks, and then appearing at the race.
I will send you there, and you will be surprised. You
know? Oh, I
they
bet.
They are carrying a rucksack and putting a boulder and rocks. Rocks on their rucksack, and they are training themselves for a month. You know,
I would not want to meet them on the start line. I think they would be.
So it has become like a festival now. You know, local festival here, which I did not realize one day it will go to that height.
And where do you see it going? Sort of 5-10 years from now, where would you like to see it sort of evolve and grow into?
Well, I mean, promote it more in such a way that I'm adding cultural and ecological aspect also. Like I told you, nowhere in the world you will find a marathon program in the highest altitude trail racing where you also contribute to the Mother Earth, you know, to the environmental conservation like we do in Nepal, like planting trees of the local trees, you know, which is also a good fodder for the local, you know, resident animals. So this is how I'm adding the value, you know, the ecological value, the environmental value, the cultural value, so that these places where I, you know, operate this type of program is always contributing something, enriching the multiple beauties of the, you know, land, Mount Everest Highland, so that people are benefiting some economically. And people are getting opportunities, and this is it. This is what it is giving to the people. So that's why everybody is happy. So it's a mass participation. This program has grown to be in such a status that it is uplifting societies, which I did not realize also at the time of conceptualizing it. So it is uplifting societies by economic activities.
Wow, fantastic. And I love that idea as well. And yeah, you spoke about it then and you spoke about it earlier of the dual nature of participation in this event, in that, yes, people go and they compete and they have this experience, but they connect to the environment in a really sort of organic and pure way by planting this tree that is indigenous to the local environment and connects, and they offer something back to the local environment that gives them so much. That sort of mutual exchange, I think, is a lovely idea to sort of permeate out to other races around the world, where sometimes it can feel a little bit more transactional. You go to the race, you run, and then you kind of leave it. Do you know what I mean? It feels like what you have created here with this event is something that has a deeper kind of significance and meaning. And I don't know about anyone else listening, but I am certainly sold and would love to come and take part in next year's event. I mean, it's coming.
Any time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I mean, so places, I'm guessing places for this year's event are all sort of taken. But if people are interested, where can they find out about the 2024 edition, and where should they go to enter the race?
Go to the website and they send us a email, or they can just pick up a phone and call us by WhatsApp or Viber, and we can tell them. You know, 24 also is the same. It's the same date, 25th. They can book us, you know, book their place for 24, 25, 26. It's no problem. If they have any inquiry, they can always write us an email, or they can call us. You know, these days, this WhatsApp and Viber are all free. They can always call us and they can clarify their mind.
Well, there you go. And I'll put the numbers and the emails in today's show notes. If you do want to reach out and head over to everestmarathon.com, where you can find all of that information out. Bikram, thank you so much for your time, for giving us a bit of an insight into the Everest Marathon. May 29th, every year from 2023 onwards, if people are interested in getting involved. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sharing your story, and for being such a brilliant guest on The Big Run.
I'm also very happy sharing my experience with you. Please extend my best wishes to all your listeners, and Nepal is waiting for them to earn their experience of a lifetime.
A big thank you to Bikram for coming on the show. If you'd like to register your interest in next year's event, then all of the relevant information is in today's show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time for The Big Run.